Jesus is coming. Amen. Well, I just want you to know I'm living by grace. I have my 70 plus one day. And so I want you all to pray for me. My wife is 3 days, for 3 days, I'm a little extra older than her, and I never fail to hear about it. So please pray for grace of God for the next 3 days that we'll get through that. Amen. It's good to have everyone. Good to see you. Did you hear about on the news yesterday? I just got in on the last of it, and I don't remember exactly whether, I thought it was in California, I'm not sure, so I don't know for sure. But there was a principal of a public school, been a principal for 30 years. There was an athletic director, he had been an athletic director for 40 years. And they was having some kind of adult meeting in the school. And it had nothing to do with church. It had nothing to do with anything else. They was meeting there with some adults. There was no students in that room. They was in the building doing other things, but it was after school hours. The principal, before they eat, they was having a meal, turned to the athletic director and said, "Would you please lead us in a word of thanks to the Lord?" Which he did. The ACLU is suing them for using the school as a religious, having religious activities on public property. And if they are found guilty, it is a $5,000 fine, it's 6 months in jail, and if he is found guilty of criminal activity, they will lose their retirement for praying and thanking God for a meal. Boy, where are we at? I hope we can kind of follow through on this and see what happens, because this is serious business. We are in dire times. Amen. And thank you, Jesus, that you said you'd come. Amen. Amen. But we don't know what's going to happen until he does. Please turn to Judges, the 6th chapter, please. Book of Judges, the 6th chapter. When I believe the Lord wanted me to go to the book of Judges and kind of go through, pick out some things throughout this book, I'm convinced of things. In the Bible, there are always principles taught through these stories. That's what it's all about. It's to teach us the principles of the Word of God. They are not just historical stories. They are for us. Therefore, examples for us to learn from. And so when we bring these principles out, and that's what I've been trying to do, is to pinpoint some principles from God's Word through these stories in the book of Judges. They are designed to help us, okay? Honestly, they're not designed to hurt us. They are designed to help us, to let us see these examples and see what they did right, see what they did wrong, and you know, shape our lives according as the Word of God teaches us. Again, it's not for condemnation. It's many times there is conviction that comes, and well should, when we hear things in the Bible that we are doing that should not be done, or the Israelites did, and we're following that same path. They should convict us, but it's for good. It's to help us, okay? So Sunday school, our teaching in Sunday school, and certainly as our pastor preaches to us, that's what it's designed to do. And the only way it can help us is if we learn and then apply it. Okay? Application is a must. True? We must apply the truths of the Word of God. So these principles that we hear, we must take them then, apply them to our heart and our life, so that we can be better for Jesus than we was yesterday. Amen? All right. So we find in the book of Judges, we find here in chapter 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they come up against them. Now I'm going to stop there for a few moments. They had, according to the last verse in chapter 5, had been living in peace for approximately 40 years through Deborah's reign as a judge. And after that was taken care of, and Barak won the battle, and God intervened, and all of those things that we discussed, I think it was last week, we find that for 40 long years, they lived in peace. And then the Bible in chapter 6 once again says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me just say something to you. I think, you know, a lot of these things that I say, I really believe you already know, but I want to remind you of it. In America, what's going on in America is because of the evilness of the nation. You've got to understand that we are basically getting what we deserve. And we must understand, because when these people did evil in the sight of the Lord, God looks at things much different than you and I do sometimes. God looks at righteousness. When he looks at a leader in the Bible, if you'll remember, looks at a leader, he would say, this man did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or this man did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He still judges that same way. And the leadership in America is still being judged by according to God's standard. Not man's standard, but God's standard. And we must understand that. So what happened was, all of this goes back to the first of book of Judges. If you remember, we studied that. They did not drive out the inhabitants. Okay, you remember that? They did not drive out the inhabitants. They were supposed to drive out the inhabitants and the enemies there in the land. They did not do that. In fact, they let them dwell amongst them. Okay? You remember that? Well, you see, all of this is coming now upon them. When we talk about Midian here, the Midianites. You know, basically, that they were a half-brother to the Israelites. The Midianites, if you remember back in Genesis, Abraham, after Sarah died, he was, I think, 137 years old when Sarah died. He lived another 38 years till he was 175. Within that time, he married a lady by the name of Keturah, and she gave him 6 sons. One of them was Midian. Okay? All right? Are you understand that? The Bible even tells us, brings up again, and I'm trying to think of the chapter, and I can't remember for sure. I think it was, I think it's in Exodus, the 2nd chapter, where Moses married a woman by the name of Zipporah. She was a Midianite. If you remember, Moses fled the land because of fear of Pharaoh, and he went to the Midianite land. In fact, he dwelt with a Midian priest who had 7 daughters. One of those was Zipporah, and of course she was a Midianite. Moses married a Midianite. Okay, you remember when Balaam wanted to curse Israel? And what Balaam did was tried to curse Israel, but I mean, he decided not to do that. But he then caused the Jews, or the Midianite women, to seduce the Jewish men, and cause their hearts to be turned to idols. These were Midianites. This is who they are. And in verse number 3 there, it talks about the Amalekites and the children of the East. I'm doing a little background because it's important you understand something. These were not new enemies. These were old enemies that had been left in the land. Okay, this is important because if we apply this to us, we must understand when there's old enemies that we leave in the land, they're going to come back to haunt us. You see, we've got to do everything we can to take care of the sin that's in our lives. And let me say, there isn't a person in here that is perfect. I ought to hear amens all over the place. And so what I'm saying is, when we get saved, there's things in our life that we have to take care of. We have to move out. We have to get them out. And if we don't, it's just exactly what happened to the Israelites. The Israelites, everything went fine here for 40 years. But what happened? All at once, these old enemies begin to crop back up. Now, what happens to us is, them old sins that was in our life lay dormant. And if you don't be careful, they crop back up. Have you ever heard you've heard the medical term remission? It's like sins go into remission. You think you're doing okay, but you better look out. You see, you must take care of them. You must deal with them. I must deal with them. I must get rid of them out of my life completely and fully, or they'll come back on us. Now, that's exactly what happened to the Israelites here. You remember when God said in the New Testament, lay aside that sin that so does easily beset thee? Does anybody here not have a sin that so easily besets them? Now, I don't want any confessions. I'm just simply saying to you, you do because the Bible says you do. And he says we must lay it aside. We must get rid of it. And so to get rid of something in our life, you know what we have to do first? We have to identify it. It says, lay aside that sin. Have you ever stopped and just done a little bit of an examination and said, Lord, what is that sin in my life that so easily besets me? Have you ever identified it and faced it? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking to all of us. Because you see, you'll never get rid of it until you identify it and come to the realization what it is. Okay? See, that's what Israel did. They just let it stay in the land. They just let them develop. Okay? So we have to identify it, and then we have to deal with it. We have to confess it. I believe there's the identifying of a sin, confessing of a sin, and the turning away from the sin. Okay? But you have to identify it first. What is it in you and I's life? You see, now again, folks, is this bad? Is this trying to hurt somebody? No, this is trying to help all of us. Because when we can identify what that is in our life, then we can then do something about it. We can confess it to our wonderful Heavenly Father and turn from it. Now, a lot of times, just sharing with you, I pastored now 40 years. I pastored all that time. I'm not pastoring now, but I've been in that position for 40 years. I've seen a lot of things. And I know that many times the people want to think of a sin as a terrible act, some kind of a maybe of thieving or murder or something like that, and we want to say to ourselves, I've never done that, and you know, I'm all right. But we are really fooling ourselves when we do that, because there's these sins that can be in our life. Let's just pick a couple, okay? Not for any reason, let's just pick them out of the air. One of them, let's say anger. Anger is not a good thing, okay? And if you don't take care of anger, I've heard people say, I've heard them say that. That's just the way I am. I had a lady one time in the church many years ago. She's not in here, okay? Many, many years ago. She said to me, you just got to understand, that's the way I am. Nothing I can do about it. Oh, that's so unscriptural. That's pathetic. Yes, there is something we can do about it. An anger or a temper, if you're that type of a person and has that problem, okay, confess it, admit it, identify it, confess it, and turn from it. Okay? Because what will happen is, if you don't, you'll be going along in life, some circumstance will happen, and all at once that anger will come out. The old enemy will return. Okay? You know, I've talked, you know, here lately, and I guess all my ministry, about pride. Pride is a horrible thing. And I think most of us think, and when we think of a proudful person, we think of a person who's walking around bragging and boasting, and certainly that is true. A person who does that, brags on themselves, boasts about themselves all the time, is a proudful person. But pride is something that is down deep inside. Pride affects the attitude of life. You see, sometimes we're not proud. No. Oh, yes. You see, you've got to realize it'll affect the attitudes that you have. It'll affect the way you and I would treat other people, whether we want to or not. We would never say, oh, I'm better than someone else. I don't think we would ever say that openly. But inside, there's that feeling that we just are better than them folk over there. We're not like them. Now, you don't say that outwardly, but this is something that happens inside, and because of that, it affects your attitude toward people. It will affect the decisions that you make in life. You understand? It'll affect your thinking process, the way you think about things. You see, it's not just openly somebody walking around bragging and boasting and all of this. No, it's an individual that has that in their life, and it affects the life. And I want to tell you something, it comes out whether you know it or not. It shows. Amen? So that's what happened to the Israelites. See, they let them stay in the land. And I'm saying to you, we got to deal with that. If there is a pride problem, deal with it. That's what I'm trying to say. Deal with it. Face it head on. And deal with it with the Lord. And confess that thing with the Lord and turn from it. Amen? You see, again, when it comes to sin, I didn't add that fourth thing, but I believe there's another thing that after we identify the sin and we confess the sin and we turn from the sin, then we ought to look and see if there's things that we should get right with other people. I believe that's very necessary. I do not believe. It's an impossibility for me to be right with God and wrong with people. Right. Not completely. I didn't say you wasn't a Christian. I didn't say you wasn't a fine person. But if you have people in your life that absolutely you have really a problem with and you just can't get right with them, you're going to have a problem in your relationship with the Lord. You understand? You understand that? So when we face these things, these old enemies crop back up, you know, we need to deal with them. You understand? That's something that Israel just absolutely failed to do. They just would not deal with their enemies. And so here we now have them in bondage with the Midianites and these other countries too. Okay? So, again, that's a principle that we need to face. Deal with those old enemies. And boy, everybody's got them, folks. This old flesh is a mess. You may not think so, but this old flesh is a mess. And left alone, it's a really a mess. And only help is our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ can help us, you see. And we need very much to listen to him, you see. So be careful of those sins that lay dormant, that are in remission, but they've never been taken care of. Be careful of them, because they're going to crop back up. Okay, yeah, they will. They'll crop back up, and they'll do everything they can get you. All right, then in verse number 2, and again I say in verse number 6, you see what happened was, and this is an important point. I just about skipped over that, but this is an important point. Them enemies cannot overcome you. Impossible for them to crop back up if you keep your relationship with Christ right. He's greater than them. Now, the reason I mentioned that, you notice here in verse 1, what happened to the Israelites? Well, 40 years they'd been doing okay all at once, but what'd they do? They did evil in the sight of the Lord again. So then their enemies was able to overtake them. You see, when we don't keep a close relationship with Jesus Christ, wonderful Son of God, and I mean keep that on the front burner. If we just let that go by the wayside, the enemy is going to creep back in. Them old sins that we've been talking about can't win if your relationship with Christ is right. They can't overtake you. But if you then begin to slip back away from the Lord and do those things, and your heart's not really with the Lord all at once, the enemy then has a strength to come and overtake. Okay? Is it helping? You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a daily thing, folks. Now, I mean this. I really believe daily we ought to check out our relationship with the Lord. I think you just ought to talk with him daily and find out what it is that's slipping in our lives that's not what it should be, and get it confessed, get it right, turn. You understand what I'm saying? That's a daily thing, I believe, that should take place in our Christian life. So you find then in verse number 2 that the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made themselves dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. You see, and we'll discuss this more, but you see what happened when they began to do evil? They had to leave their land here, basically, because the Midianites was so strong. I don't mean they went out of the land, but they began to hide in caves and dens. Unnatural places they begin to hide. Well, again, that's kind of what happens to we Christians when we get away from the Lord and start not doing right. We want to hide somewhere. We have to be unnatural rather than to be just that precious child of God that's walking daily with the Lord. And they had to hide because they was impoverished, the Bible says here, in a little while. They was impoverished. They was absolutely taken over. And then he says, and of course, and these other countries came also, or nations came. And in verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they come up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. See what happened? The Midianites and these other nations came in, and they destroyed their crops. They stole their crops. If you remember, that's what Gideon was doing. He was hiding, remember, trying to thresh some wheat. Because what was happening is these nations was coming in and stealing their crops. Can you imagine putting a garden out every year, and about the time it begins to bear fruit, there would be somebody come in and every year steal the fruit of it? That's exactly what happened. They took their oxen, their sheep. They took all of those things, and I mean, they was in dire. They was impoverished because all of these things, they would come in and steal it. When it was about time for the crops to come, Brother Jack, they just come in and stole them. See, and that's the kind of condition Israel was in. Now, again, you say, well, how terrible that is. Yes, it is. But let's look back to why. Why is this happening? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, you understand? I mean, we look at it and say, boy, that was terrible. Wow, how could you live like that? I know. I understand. But you must understand something. They brought it on themselves. And God allowed it to wake them up. Okay? So they didn't have to live in this misery. I'm simply saying to you, and I hope you will listen, that's what basically is happening to America today. I want to show you something in the book of Hosea. In the book of Hosea, which is right after the book of Daniel, if you want to turn over there. You'll find Ezekiel and Daniel and then the book of Hosea. Second chapter. I think I want to look at, yeah, verse number 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall. Just look at America and look at all of her greed, all of the great wealth that America has. Now, I do realize, I was saying about that this morning, thank God that America does feed the hungry. I believe in that. I mean, I know they don't use any wisdom with it because they feed communist countries that try to destroy us. But I'm for helping to feed the hungry. I'm for some of those things and help it, but you better be careful who it is you're helping. But I'm saying to you, America is a nation of nothing but greed. Money is its God. So God says, you better remember who gave you all of that. Okay? You better remember who gave all that to you, because I'm going to come and I'm going to get it. I'm going to take it back. And I think that's one of the things that is happening in America. We are such a selfish and greedy nation. I'm just going to say, even as Christians, we just want too much. We just want too much. God tells us to be satisfied, to be content, amen, with food and raiment. Be content. And folks, that's a life of contentment. But you know what we want? We want that, but we want abundance of it. We want more, you see. But God doesn't, that's not what the Word of God teaches. So after a bit, why do we want all of that abundance? Let me just ask you, why do we want that abundance? What are we going to do with it? What is Americans doing with their abundance today? What do they do with it? Why do we want it? It's scary. And then, you know, God says, you know what? I gave it all to you. And what'd you use it for? Well, maybe we're not using it what we would call Baal, but it's the same principle. We're using it for the worldly things. Look at Malachi for just a moment. Chapter 3, and I know these are familiar verses, but I want you to look at them just a little bit different. Chapter 3, verse 10. You bring in all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God promised Israel, and he promises us that we'll bring our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord, that he'll open up the windows of heaven and bless us. But listen, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, he's saying, he said, you do right, you give, you bring your tithes and offerings. He says, and I'll devour the devourer, I will take care of the devourer. Will not allow it to take that which I have given you. I'll bless you. He's promised that. On the other hand, he's saying, if you don't, then the devourer is going to attack. Now, sometimes I believe we stop at just the the tithes and the offerings. What I'm saying is we look at that and we say, I have tithed and I have given offerings. And that's a good, it's a right, it's a proper thing. It's what God tells us to do. But I think what we do is we forget about the rest of it. You see, for some reason, we think once we've given our tithes and offering, then the rest of it is ours. Well, I want to give you a principle. You don't own a thing. You may think you do, but you don't own a thing. There is nothing that is yours. You are only a steward of it. And God is allowing you to be the steward. So what happens is we give our tithes, we give our offering, and we say, okay, I'll go do this with this, whatever I want. And many times we use it for Baal. I mean, I hope you get this. I'm just serious. We need to have in our hearts, God, how do you want me to spend this which you've given me? You know, I'm serious. I really believe this. We don't do everything right. Me and Donna, we talk about everything before we purchase something. Is it the Lord's will that we do this? I mean, he's got to be involved in everything that we do. And that extra that God just gives us to be a steward of, we need to stop and check and say, what am I going to do with that? I know God don't care if you have certain things. In fact, he's provided that so you can have food and raiment. And so you can have these things. But I want to tell you something. We as Christians has went way over our heads. We don't just want this for food and raiment and contentment. We want way above there. We've got to have the fancy. I don't believe that honors God. I believe that that's one of the reasons God is reaching in and taking a bunch of things back. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, does that help? I'm saying that because, folks, for all of us, we've got to be careful how we take that God gave us and what we use it for. Amen? What are we going to use it? Does he want you to enjoy life? I believe he does. I believe he's given us many things to enjoy, hasn't he? He told us that. But boy, get God involved before you do anything. You purchase something, get God involved. Is it hard to walk into a store and say, Lord, would you just help me in the purchase I make today? Just help me. I mean, I know there's certain things, Lord, that I know I need, that I, you know, just standard things, but I still want you to help me to be a good steward and do it right. And what's wrong with that? Amen? And when there's decisions in our life that's going to affect maybe the rest of our life and things that we purchase, things that we decide to do, I just think God needs to be involved. And he wants to be. Don't you? He wants to be. And so Israel, the reason that Israel was in the mess they was is they got away from the Lord. They did not obey his voice. That's what I'm just trying to say to you, folks. Stay close to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, every single day of your life, okay? Because it's a battle. Satan doesn't want that. But boy, it's a sweet life to be able to get up in the morning and say, Lord, guide me today. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye is a prayer that I pray every day of my life. I said, Lord, it's a promise of God. I want you to guide me. I want you to instruct me. I want you to teach me in the way I should go. Please, Lord, you've promised you would, and I want you to help me to listen to you. You understand what I'm saying? It's so necessary. You see, we get away from God when we don't do that, okay? And then be sure and listen to him. Amen. You're like an old human being standing up here. Sometimes we get our mind somewhere else and don't always listen too good. But boy, we've got to listen to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness and grace. Help us, Lord. Help us to just get rid of those things that's enemies, that's sins that's there. They may be laying dormant, but oh, Father, they sure want to raise their ugly head. And I pray that you help us, guide and direct us, please. In Jesus' name.